Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Sorry for the delay. Today is June 5th, 2019. And we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly lunch and learn.
And
ah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you. This Shabbat, we are going to begin Parshat Sefer Bamidbar, the Book of Bamidbar, and Parshat Bamidbar. And so we're going to talk today about Parshat Bamidbar and a particular verse. And we have today a text from the book Netivot Shalom, which we've studied before. Netivot Shalom is a Hasidic text, and so we're not going to be dealing directly with the straightforward meaning of the verses, but we have more today, sort of some ideas that we are going to discuss, and it's going to take some twists and turns, and hopefully it will be interesting and meaningful. So we could begin by looking at the Parsha on page 726. Okay, 726. And we begin with a census that's taking place in the desert. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ol mo'ed b'echad l'chodesh ha'sheni b'shana ha'shenit. Let's say, Tam Eretz Mitzrayim Lemor. God spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting on the first of the second month, in the second year after their exodus from the land of Egypt, saying, Se'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael mishpachotam l'veit avotam v'mispar shemot kol zachar l'gulgulotam. Take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel according to their families, according to their father's household, by numbers of the names, every male according to their head count. Mi ben esrim shana v'mala, from 20 years up, kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael tifkedu otam, l'tzivotam ata v'yaron. From 20 years of age and up, everyone who goes out to the legion in Israel, you shall count them according to their legions, you and Aaron. So there's a requirement here of the census to count B'nai Yisrael, to count the men 20 years and up. We begin with a question. Okay? The question is raised by the Netivot Shalom, by the author, to compare the language that we find with this census. I think there are extras if you both need. I think there's some extra copies. To find a discrepancy or a difference between the language used in this text and the language used in another part of the Torah when there is a census. So let's read. We're on the bottom of the page, this first page right here, bottom right-hand column. Okay? Su et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachotam l'beit avotam b'mispar shemot. He quotes our verse. Again, suet kol et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael, to count, take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel. Hine ha-mefarshim diku madua b'minyan ze ketiv b'mispar shemot. If you look in the verse, it says, su'u, verse number two, su'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael u'mishpachotam v'etavotam b'mispar shemot, which is translated as, take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel, according to their families, according to their father's household, by number of names. B'mispar shemot. By number of names. V'ilu b'minyan ba'e ha'aretz b'parshat Pinchas. And when it talks, when the Jews are counted later on, when they're about to enter into the land of Israel, when we count in Parshat Pinchas, which is later in the book of Bamidbar, later in the book of Numbers, the language is different. Let's look in Parshat Pinchas, keep the page here, and then Parshat Pinchas is on 876. It's on page, actually 878 is where the census starts. It says as follows, V'ilu b'minyan ba'e ha'aretz v'parshat Pinchas ketiv rak levet avotam v'lo ketiv b'mispar shemot. If you look on verse number 1 in chapter 26, or actually number 2, verse number 2, S'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael miben eshrim shana v'mala lebet avotam. Take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel from 20 years of up, of age and up, according to their father's households. But it does not say the language of b'mispar shemot that we have in our verse. In our verse we have by their father's household and by numbers and names, but later it only talks about by the father's household and not by numbers of names. So that interests some of the commentaries. Whenever you have a similar activity going on and a similar commandment and the language is different, the commentaries want to know why. And that's what we're going to get to. Yes.
One of the differences, I think it says males in the other one, and it doesn't say males in Pinchas.
Let's see.
I'm missing something. I don't know the Hebrew. The Miben
Eshrim Shana Bamal Levet Avotam. Yes, the same thing. From, yeah. Kotza Yitzavat, it specifically doesn't say, but it is talking about males. Yes, that's another good question.
Now, how about the females?
Well, the males are counted because this is a military, count. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't the women also fight?
No. No. This is the men who were fighting, not the women. Yeah. They're okay. So, V'hasifurno. We're on the top of the right column, on the back of the first page. We've turned the page. V'hasifurno katav alze. The Sifurno is one of the classic commentaries on the Torah. His name is Ovadia Sifurno. He lived from 1475 to 1550, and he was Italian, from Bologna. Okay? So he says as follows. Top right column, if you're following along in the Hebrew, on page Tet, which is the second page, back of the first page, top right column. Vasiforno katav al ze, shekan nimnu yotzei Mitzrayim, shehayu anashim gedolim. It's an interesting distinction he's going to draw between the two generations of Jews. This is the first census of the Jews. This is when this is the generation of Jews who have left Egypt. Later, the census that's later in the book of Bamidbar is a different generation. This is the generation that's going to enter into the land of Israel, and we know that the first generation died off before the second generation was going to enter into the land of Israel. So the Sifurno says as follows: Vasiforno katav al ze shekan nimnu yotzei Mitzrayim. Shehayu anashim gedolim. The Jews who left Egypt were of a very high stature. Dor dea, they were a generation of knowledge. They knew God. Ve'al kein ne'mar bahem b'mispar shemot. So here there's an additional phrase used according to the names of the numbers. Why? Shehu inyan chashivut uma'ale. This al dat mamar hakatuv eidecha b'shem. It's not just they were counted by their household, they were counted by name. And whenever you count something by name, it shows a certain level of chashivut. It shows a certain level of importance. Right? When you speak to someone by their name, it's different than just addressing them by you or some other non-specific type of a way of addressing someone. When you address someone by name, it adds a little importance. It shows that you care. You cared enough to know their name. You cared enough to remember their name. And
well,
so
the name is well-known.
Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. Right? So here, every single person, it sounds like, was counted by name, not just by their household. And that represents the importance of the generation of Jews who left Egypt. God gave them this additional, let's call it layer of kavod, layer of honor, by counting them by name. Okay? And he quotes a verse in Tehillim that says, God gives each of the stars a name. Because, again, each star is important, and important things have a name. Therefore, he continues in the middle of the paragraph. V'lachein b'minyan hador de'a ne'emar l'mishpachotam v'et avotam mispar shemot. So therefore, regarding this generation that left Egypt, they are called by name. Shemilvad ma'alatan mitzad mishpachotam v'avotam, besides the importance that they have from their family that they came from, hayugam b'mispar shemot shekol echad b'fnei atzmo haya adam gadol. Each individual Jewish person that left Egypt was an Adam Gadol, a great person, an important person. Ma she'ein kein, which is not the case, dor ba'e ha'aretz, the generation of Jews who entered into the land of Israel. Shehayu b'madrega kitana bioter, they were on a lower spiritual level of the Jews who left Egypt. Lo kativ bahem b'mispar shemot. So when they are counted later in the book of Bamidbar, later in the book of Numbers, they are not counted by name because they lack that importance. Sheichusam umalatam hayurak mitzad mishpuchotam ubeit avotam. Their importance and their yichus, right? It's a hard word to their genealogy or their family importance and heritage. That's just based on where they came from, right? It's like when you hire your nephew just because he's your brother's kid. That's the second generation of people who went into Egypt. But the ones who left, who went into Israel, but the ones who left Egypt, that's the nephew who's worthwhile and you really do want to hire him. Okay? So that's an interesting claim, I thought, that the Sephorno is making. That the Jews who left Egypt were on a super high level, and therefore they deserve to be recognized individually. And the Jews who were entering into the land of Israel were on a much lower level, and therefore they're only being mentioned by their household, their family name. Like this idea, like, you're only really important because of who you come from, but you, yourself, not so much. I found that interesting. I'll tell you why in a second. Yeah.
So why did he kill off all the generation that left Egypt?
Right.
So
I mean, that's the...
Right. 40 years later, you're only 41.
Right. So that's the question, right? Why? What evidence is there that this generation was so special? In fact, there's evidence... Right. There's evidence the other way. First of all, we've studied here the Midrashic idea that the Jews who left Egypt were on the 49th level of impurity, that they almost didn't make it out of Egypt because they were so spiritually corrupted. And we know that the book of Bamidbar is full, and Shemot also is full of one misstep after another misstep, and complaints, and the golden calf. So what evidence... What evidence is there that this generation was so special that they get to be called by name? And the ones who got into Eretz Yisrael, which was the prize, right? That's... By the way, that was the prize. Of course, the prize was getting the Torah, but the end of the road was getting into Eretz Yisrael. And if you're going to get into Eretz Yisrael, presumably you have to be deserving. You have to merit that. So I find, as you did, in also understanding, find this to be interesting. So we're going to dig deeper into this. Yeah.
Sometimes when you use someone's name, it's not to give them honor. A child, when you say they're misbehaving, sometimes you gave their name and their middle name, and you say, you get over here, you're in trouble.
That's so true. That's a good point.
Maybe it's not always something so good.
Right. Okay. Maybe that's another way to look at it. But that's not what the Sephorno says. The Sephorno says, when you call someone by their name and say, hey, you in the back row, right? When you call someone by name, it shows at least you know who they are, you care about them.
Weren't things maybe different in Sephorno's time? It was much more...
I think it's the same now. I think when you're talking to someone and you call them by name, it shows that you...
Just you know them, that's all.
No, you may not have known them. You may have taken the time to learn their name. You have a whole group of... Yeah, I think it's a much... It's when you forget... When it's like when someone's come when you're with someone and someone you come over you know and you forget their name, then you have to introduce them by, oh, this is my friend from my gym class. That's very different than saying this is my friend Frank from my gym class. It's a different the guy knows you forgot his name. Right? You knew you forgot his name. So what's going on here? Second paragraph on the right column. Ulefize yesh lomar ma shebedor hamidbar matzinu shechatu kol kach harbe chataim. What are we supposed to say about the generation that left Egypt that they sinned so many times? Ve'ilu bibae ha'aretz ne'emar v'ya'avod Yisrael et Hashem kol yimei Yehoshua. He actually has he's asking a question on the Sephorno, the same question we asked, but he puts the question in context of a verse. We know that the generation that left Egypt sinned often. But on the other hand, we have a verse in the book of Joshua that says that generation that went into the land of Israel served God all of Joshua's period of time. So they seem to be on a pretty high level themselves. V'lo nizkaru klal chata'im al dor zeh. There are no sins at all, says the Slonim Rebbe, mentioned about the generation that went into the land of Israel. Shehu machmat shekol hagadol mechaveiro yitro gadol mimenu. Ah, but he gives us the answer. Here's the answer. This is fascinating. This is based on the Gemara on Sukkah. And he says it's true that the generation this is counterintuitive. But this is an interesting principle. He says it's true that the generation of the Jews who left Egypt sinned, and the generation of Jews who entered into the land of Israel did not sin. That proves that the generation that left Egypt were actually on a higher level. Why? Shekol hagadol mechaveiro yitzro gadol mimenu. The greater you are, the harder the evil inclination tries to get you.
But they got them.
They did. But conceptually, they are the greater generation, he says.
So you accepted that they might be more prone to evil.
More prone to...
Because they are so great.
Yes, this
so
is the...
evil is
this
great,
is so Well, this great. Is the version of the greater you are, the harder you fall in spiritual terms. Right, we have a common phrase, the greater you are, the harder you fall, right? So the greater you are, right? Could be. The greater you are, this is a spiritual concept, right? It's not necessarily something we see with our own eyes. That when someone is a great person, we have this idea that the Yetzer Hara, whatever it is within us that leads us to sin, works harder because there's a... Why? Well, it could be because it's considered a greater prize, right? If the Yetzer Hara... Right, exactly. If the Yetzer Hara gets a low life to sin, that's no big deal. But if the Yetzer Hara gets a tzaddik to sin, that's already a great accomplishment. V'lachein, and therefore he says, Davka dor hamidbar shehayu dor deyav anashim gedolim. He says, therefore, specifically that generation who left Egypt, who were great, haya yitzram gadol. They had a very strong inclination to sin. V'chol chata'ehem niv'u mitzad gadlutam. All of their sin stemmed from or came from their greatness. So this is interesting.
It's a stretch. Right?
It's interesting because on the one hand, it could be used as a apologetic, right? As an excuse, right? A great person does something terrible, and we say, what do you expect, right? Now, but however, it's interesting. What we did not mention was that it's true. Assuming this principle is true, that the greater you are, the harder you fall, God never excused them. God never did use it as an excuse. That's the point. Meaning, if we use it as an excuse if we use it as a reason to excuse bad behavior by great people, that's bad. But God didn't do that. That generation did get punished. by not being allowed into the land of Israel, right? They were, God did not excuse their bad behavior. So what the Shlomo Rebbe is saying is they were greater, but they succumbed to the sin because the Yetzer Hara was working harder on them. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you are still responsible for your own actions, no matter how great you are or how not so great you are, no matter how hard the Yetzer Hara works on you, or no matter if the Yetzer Hara disregards you entirely, one, we are still responsible for our own action. So I think what the Shlomo Rebbe is saying, along with the Sephorno, is conceptually, the Jewish people that left the land of Egypt were great, but they succumbed to all sorts of sins, and God punished them. The generation that entered into the land of Israel was not as great, and they managed to not succumb. Now, they may have managed not to succumb because the Yetzer Hara wasn't so great. Now, by the way, we have a similar idea, I think, that exists in our world in a very real way, right? We often expect important, successful public figures to have a certain, to carry themselves in a certain way, which we don't necessarily expect, this is right or wrong, we don't necessarily expect from other people, right? When someone uses foul language, but if the president of the United States uses foul language, we're like, that's not in keeping with that, right? Right, with the office of the person. So we also have this idea that the greater you are, the higher standard you're expected. Right.
But they don't let them get away with it.
Neither did God. That's exactly the point. Neither did God. They got punished also, and they were not allowed into the land of Israel. So that's the point. The notion exists, but it's not an excuse. And that's how he's able to explain that that generation was greater despite all their sins. Their sins prove their greatness, but they're great, but that does not, that's not an excuse.
Only difference.
You're ruffling your brow.
Yeah. I would think by virtue of the fact that the second
one at a time, one at a time. One at a time, please. Yeah.
By virtue of the fact that the generation that went into Israel did not sin made them greater than the first generation. It's counterintuitive.
So I would say there's two ways to look at greatness. How you start and how you end. So there's the Jewish people who left Egypt, according to this construct, were greater in just the pure measure of greatness. You put one next to the other, pure measure of greatness, the one leaving Egypt wins. In terms of who managed to avoid sinning, and therefore, you know, when that's measured, you're right. It was a generation that went into the land of Israel. Okay, one more comment, then we're going to continue. A few more things. Yeah.
As I understand, the number of Jews that left Egypt was about 20 to 24% of the actual Jews that were living.
That is a midrashic reading of the text that 20% came out, but it's not necessarily the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were more or less. I was told they were actually the best.
The cream of the crop, right. Good, right. Exactly.
Could be.
Right, could be. Right. All right, let's keep going on. Let's keep going on, okay? Okay. There is a... he continues on the bottom of the left column on the bottom. He makes another interesting point. He continues with this other point, and talks about another difference between the Jewish people who left Egypt and the Jewish people who entered into the land of Israel. But I want to get to this other idea, and we're almost out of time. So I want to get to this other idea, which is on the bottom left column of the page that we're still on. That page that says Tet on top. Uveod ofen yesh lomar, dedor hamidbar, yotzei Mitzrayim, Ikar ha'avdut shelahem haita besur meira, lefi shehayu mishukaim B'memtet sharei tumah b'mitzrayim ervat ha'aretz. There are the Slonim Rebbe is introducing. There are two ways we serve God. One is sur meira, avoiding evil, which means avoiding sin, avoiding things we're not to do. And the other is ase tov, doing the good things. Sur meira v'ase tov. It's a verse. Sur meira v'ase tov. Avoid evil and do good. Now, we're supposed to, of course, do both, right? But the Slonim Rebbe here says that for the Jews who left Egypt, the ikar ha'avdut shelahem, the essential work that they needed to do, and this is an interesting idea that we could probably apply to ourselves from time to time, right? Sometimes we probably feel ourselves that there's certain type of activity or certain type of moods that are bad moods or certain types of trends that we see in our lives that are bad, and we realize we really have to focus on not doing that anymore. We really have to spend most of our energy on breaking that bad habit, let's say. There are other times in our life where we're going to focus most of our energy on developing a good habit, on developing something positive, on developing a connection to a mitzvah as opposed to developing an avoidance of a sin. So there are probably times in our spiritual development where we feel a pull towards one type of avodah, one type of service of God, and other times in life when we feel a pull to another type of service of God. And hopefully over the time, they balance out. And most of the time, hopefully, we're in equilibrium and we're doing both. But when it came, so here what he's doing is he's setting up a paradigm, right? That the Jews who left Egypt, their essential work was to avoid evil. As we noted earlier, they were on the 49th level of tum'ah, on the 49th level of impurity, and they had to try to avoid all that bad stuff. So they were trying to dig themselves out of that bad stuff, right? Mishukaim b'memtet sharei tum'ah b'mitzrayim ervat ha'aretz ukedi'ita b'midrash shemidat hadin kitarga halalu v'halalu oved avodah zarah v'ikar avodatam haita latzeit me'eretz mitzrayim. It's a midrash that looks at the Egyptians and the Jew, that says the angels were looking at the Egyptians who were being punished and looked at the Jews who were being saved and says, what's the difference? The Egyptians serve idols and the Jews serve idols. What's the difference? I mean, that's how bad it got. That the angels, either they couldn't really tell the difference or they were sort of playing a game with God, but they were trying to push God and say, why are the Egyptians getting punished? And the Jews aren't. They're really acting the same way. So that's how bad it was. So really their focus needed to be on getting out of that. The Elu, however, Dor Ba'e Ha'aretz, the generation that came into the land of Israel, Ikar Ha'avdut Shelahem Hayta Ba'aseh Tov, their essential work to serve God was to do good, which means what? Likanes La'aretz Yisrael, to get into the land of Israel, V'livnot Et Beit HaMikdash, and to build a Beit HaMikdash. We could add to get the land of Israel, to split the land up between the tribes, to work the land, to make sure the land is being worked in accordance with Jewish law, right? To do all those positive things and to build up the first Jewish commonwealth. Aseh Tov. So he's setting up these paradigms in terms of the generation was different. We see this too. We realize that sometimes generations are different. We call it the generation gap, right? We have generations that are different. V'hinei b'sur meira haklal hu kimamar raman admor bal brit Avraham b'ma dekatuv b'shat hanisayon shel Yosef v'titpesehu b'bigdav bigdo milashon b'gida hainu shetafsa oto b'vigidutav. This is a fascinating read. What did he? We're now hearkening back to Joseph when he was. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. What does the verse say? If we want to look back at the verse in Genesis, chapter 39, you can look at it real quick. This is, it says as follows. You look on top of page 216. It says, Vatitpisehu bivigdo. She caught hold of him by his garment. Top of page 216. She grabbed Joseph's garment and said to him, lie with me. So, bibigdo means by his garment. But the Midrash, or not the Midrash, he's quoting another Hasidic source, plays with the word beged, which also means
bigida,
which means
the same short.
It's like to be a traitor, right? You're a traitor, or you've done something wrong, right? So what does it mean? Vatitpisehu bevigdo, said this Hasidic sort, bigdo milashon bigida. The word his clothing is related to the word bigida, which means to be a traitor, meaning vitanalo hare benkach. She says to Joseph, you've already sinned so many times. Meaning she's trying to say, you're not so great. You think you're not gonna lie with me because it's a sin? What's the big deal? You're a sinner anyway. What's one more sin? If you've sinned so many times, why not sin with me one more time? This is such a nice idea. He says, look at his answer. His answer is, he said this earlier, Einenu gadol babayat hazeh mimeni. In verse 9, there is no greater person in this house other than me. Meaning, again, in the context of the story, that means he was the keeper of the house. He was the most important person in the house. But in the context of this idea, what does it mean? Yes, I am a sinner, but that doesn't define me. And if I could stand up against this temptation, I'm going to, because there's no one more important than me here. I mean, this is not a statement of self-importance. This is a statement of saying, I'm capable of not sinning. I'm a gavra. I'm a person. Just because I've sinned doesn't mean that is who I am. There's no one more important than me, meaning I can do this. I'm not defined by what she says I'm defined as. And therefore, since I'm important, presumably also in the eyes of God, how can I do this sin to God? God does not want me to do this. So what he's saying here is that this is a trick that sometimes we play on ourselves, right? When we're tempted to do something and we know we shouldn't do it, we want to do it, we say, you know what? I did it last week. I might as well do it again, right? Or I'm not such a righteous person. So why should I not do this sin, right? Why should I not speak Lashon Hara? Why should I not do this or that? I know I'm not so perfect. So what's another sin in a whole big basket of sins? I'm not so great. That's a trick that we play on ourselves. It's sort of an excuse we give ourselves to sin. And he's saying, well, no, that doesn't necessarily define you. Ki ben kach, to next page, ki ben kach ein lo ma lahafsid. There's nothing to lose. O tzarich Yehudi lehitazer bigava de kedusha al dat vayigba libo bedarche Hashem ulashiv leyitzara einenu gadol bebayit hazeh mimeni. Our response to ourselves, when we make that excuse, needs to be, no, there's no one in this house more important than me. Yes, I faltered, but that doesn't define who I am. I'm going to act as a righteous person and someone who fears God, and so how could I do this? This is, here, he's introducing holy haughtiness. Right? Normally in Judaism, we're taught that it's very important to be humble. But too much humility could land us in this spot. I'm a nothing, I'm a zero, so I sin all the time, I might as well sin again. So if we're too humble about our standing, we run the risk of of not being able to stand up when we could say, no, I'm a great person. And by virtue of my greatness, I'm not going to be dragged down into this further sin. That's what he calls gava de kedusha, the haughtiness of holiness, or the holy haughtiness. Va'al kein hador shel yotzei Mitzrayim, she'ikar avdut shelahem hayta misur meira, hayu trichim liyot b'mispar shemot, she'kol echad yachzik atzmo l'adam gadol kedei lihinatzel mehara. And if the Jewish people who were leaving Egypt were so stuck in the mud, God had to call them by name. Going back to the original question, to give them the feeling of importance that they can get out of the rut that they're in. Now we're moving away from that who's better, who's worse. This is just independent. They were on a low level, and that low level threatened, when you believe you're on a low level, the threat is, the danger is, you're never going to get out of it. You're always going to stay there because you don't believe in yourself. So God says, no, but mispar shemot, I'm calling each of you by name. Each of you is important. Each of you has the capacity to dig yourself out of that hole. Masha ein kein baya aretz shetafkidam ba'asei tov, bazeh klal koma dekayev inish tfei ma'ali kemamar harav hakadosh magid mi mezritz shaderech ba'avodat Hashem latchil mishiflut atzmo ki min ha'aretz lo noflim. They were already, the generation who was going into the land of Israel, they were ba'asei tov. Right, they didn't have to avoid sin, and they had this excitement of getting into the land of Israel, so they didn't need the extra encouragement, if you will, from God. V'zeh shomer et Torah kedoshah v'bet haminyanim su'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael dahaynu laseit et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael l'romeim rosham u'lagbiyah datam. The point is when the Torah says to count the Jewish people, it uses the language su'u et rosh, which means to lift up the heads. And that's the goal, to lift us up. Bidur hamidbar haderech hayta yedei mispar shemot, for the generation of the midbar, the ones who left Egypt, it was to teach them that they're important despite their failings by calling them by name. Ve'ilu b'ba'ei ha'aretz hayta nesiyat harosh shel b'nei Yisrael al yedei zeh shelo nemar behem mispar shemot sheyu nichna'im b'bechinat lev nishbar v'nidcheh v'al yedei zeh yagilu madrigot b'yat ha'aretz. But the generation that was getting into the land of Israel, the way that God encouraged them was not to call them by name, to give them a little taste of humility. Yes, you're getting into Eretz Yisrael, but you have to be humble, and that little taste of humble pie was going to be the catalyst for them to do great, things. So I think what emerges from this reading of the Netivot Shalom is, there are two ways we could inspire people, or we could inspire ourselves, right? One is by saying, I could do better. I'm not really doing as well as I can do. And that may inspire us, but there's a danger in that sometimes, because that may become a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the other way we inspire ourselves is by saying, Enenu gadol b'bayit hazeh mimenu. There's no one greater than me. Yeah. Right? Therefore, I'm not going to fall into this hole. I'm not going to sin. And sometimes we need to use one methodology, and sometimes we need to use the other methodology. And so we're set up here. We have these paradigms. One time God uses the one methodology, names. You're amazing. You're great. Despite your failures, you can do it. And the other is no names. Well, You need be humble, right? You're not doing as well as you can. You're not doing as well as you can do. And so, again, I don't believe these things live or exist in a vacuum. The Torah is giving us paradigms by using the generation as the different generations as models of those paradigms, which we could hopefully translate into our own ways of trying to improve our own service of God. And that is the Slonim Rebbe on the census that appears in this week's Parsha. Thank you all for coming. Have a wonderful day.